KFYO. Good morning. It's 7:37. Lubbock's First News. It's Thursday, a little bit closer to the weekend. Joined by Ambassador Tibor Nash Jr., Texas Tech University's Vice Provost of International Affairs. Thanks for being here on the program.
Good morning. Always a pleasure to be with you guys.
Hey, I wanted to talk about the Africa situation and Ebola.
Sure.
Now, I just kind of had this question. A friend of my daughter's was in Africa on a mission trip.
Uh-huh. Where?
I think it was kind of down around, you know, Midwestern. I'm not exactly sure where, but we were all just going, yikes, you're going where?
Yeah, well.
Well, it's not all of Africa.
Well, see, that's the thing. That's one of the points I make is Africa is as big as the United States, China, India, and most of Western Europe all put together. So it's like, you know, you're worried about something going on the southern border, but you have friends in Amarillo and you're concerned with your friends in Amarillo because of what's happening in, you know, San Benito kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right.
So. Anyway, so what's your take on this, and how are people around the world viewing this? I know we just had this Africa summit.
Yeah, right.
In D.C.
Yep. Most all the African heads of state were in Washington to meet with the president last couple of days, and I think yesterday they announced like $14 billion worth of trade deals. And a lot of criticism because the United States, you know, I've said this before, in foreign policy we always seem to be playing catch-up. The Chinese have been doing these Africa summits for about a decade. The Europeans do them. Indians do them. And now finally, President Obama said, oh, maybe the United States should be doing them too, because Africa represents such a huge, huge, tremendous potential for future trade and investment. And Africa has kind of flipped, you know, from being the poor continent of pestilence and famine to being huge, huge potential economic opportunity.
Kind of like the new Pacific Rim, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's, you know, headline after headline, Africa's the new China. And we were, you know, late getting into China, and now we're late getting into Africa, too.
Hmm.
But the Ebola is just, Ebola, I think, is a huge deal because it is so dangerous. But that's just impacting a very, very small part of Africa.
You know, one thing Laura and I were talking about.
Is it frightening, though, that it's, I'm sorry.
No,
that it's
go ahead.
It seems to be growing, the number of fatalities reported seems to be growing so fast, so rapidly.
It is, because the area that it's coming out of, it was so uncontrolled. I mean, that's one of the most unique areas in the world where you have Sierra Leone, Guinea, Liberia all come together. And there's no real borders there.
Hmm.
The people in that area are all the same ethnic group, so it doesn't matter what country they live in. They cross back and forth with no controls. There's also a huge amount of superstition. People don't trust Western medicine.
Mm.
People don't trust their governments because they've been so horribly abused by a succession of governments. So if the government tells them to do something, they will more than likely do the opposite.
Now, in the reaches of Africa, isn't like voodoo still very, very prominent?
Again, you know, you can't say that about all of Africa, but in that particular part of Africa, yeah. If somebody gets sick and you don't have access to health care, in most of the small villages anyway, you go off and see the, you know, what we would call a witch doctor. And with Ebola, the witch doctor is not going to help you at all. And unfortunately, not much is going to help you.
Yeah, the witch doctor may not be the witch doctor too much longer that particular instance. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. But unfortunately, neither might your family members who are trying to take care of you.
Yeah. We're visiting with Ambassador Tibor Nash Jr., Vice Provost of International Affairs, Texas Tech University. We'll be back in about 3 minutes.
The Rush Limbaugh Week in Review, Sunday afternoons from 1 to 4. News Talk 790, KFYO.
7:45, Lubbock's First News. Tom, Laura, and we're visiting with Ambassador Tibor Nash Jr., Vice Provost of International Affairs, Texas Tech University. We are going to chat about Russia, the Ukraine, and man, there's just all kinds of turbulence over there. Now, Laura and I were kind of visiting earlier. Now, what's this guy's problem? I mean, is Putin as dumb as he looks? Does he have a mental deficit?
No, actually, he's crazy as a fox.
Well, the thing is, it's kind of like I was driving down the road yesterday. Yeah. You know, Hitler was syphilitic insane.
Yeah.
You know, has he got some kind of...
No, Putin's not, because the audience he is really playing to is his Russian domestic audience. And his popularity in Russia is like at 80%.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is the funny thing, because to the rest of the world, he's got the middle finger up.
Yeah.
And in anything that happens, he's going to blame it on us. And then his people are going to swallow it.
Well, exactly. Remember, he got into this and he took over the Crimea. And, you know, the world was supposed to stop him from doing that. And I said at the time, they're going to keep Crimea. And there's going to be a lot more going on. But at the end of the day, he's going to keep Crimea. The Russians overwhelmingly believe that should be part of Russia. Right now, he's in a very interesting situation because I think he has a lot of options, especially with the downing of this airplane, you know, a couple of weeks ago. Because if he wants to, he can cut the rebels loose, you know, using the plane as an excuse. If Russian opinion starts turning against him, he can do that. But at the same time, he can go into the eastern Ukraine. He's got his 20,000 troops back. Again, if Russian public opinion says go in there, you know, to save the compatriots.
He wants the whole Ukrainian coast, doesn't he?
No, he's happy with Crimea because that's what the Russians need for their fleet. But what he wants is he wants a very weak Ukraine that is dependent on Russia. He wants to reimpose the influence that the old Soviet Union had around the whole periphery, and he's doing a bit at a time. You know, out of our spotlight, he's doing stuff in Central Asia that very few people talk about. You know, in those countries that we call the Ikistans, you know, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, all those stuff. He's playing games there just like he is in the Ukraine. But you don't ever see anything mentioned about that in the paper. At the end of the day, that's pretty significant too, because there are some major, major gas exporting countries there. So this is a calculated strategy on his part. He's using different tactics, and unfortunately, once again, he's dancing waltzes around the West and our own administration.
Wow.
Does he have, I mean, I've read some about him, and he seems to be wanting the old USSR, Soviet Union kind of thing back together.
Not
is that what he's wanting?
Not politically, but he wants it back influence-wise. Mm. He wants Russia to be a major player on the world stage. He wants to poke the United States in the eye any and every opportunity he gets. He hates us because we caused the destruction of the Soviet Union.
Right.
And he says that the destruction of the Soviet Union was one of the most cataclysmic events of the 20th century from his point of view.
Wah.
And at the end of the day, he is a KGB colonel. You know,
right.
he could be playing any other role, president, prime minister, but at the end of the day, he's a KGB colonel. And he's going up against our community organizer.
In that respect, isn't he a lot like Hitler was? I mean, wanting that
well,
world
except,
power.
And... Yeah, but Hitler was certifiably insane.
Yeah.
I don't think Putin is insane at all. I think he has a very, very deep strategic objective. He has goals. He has a tactics, a whole variety of tactics on how to get there.
And he doesn't care what other people think.
Well, within reason. I mean, he would care if all of his oligarchs came to him and said, stop it, you're bankrupting us. You know, Vladimir, your 2 billion, you know, whatever rubles in the Swiss bank accounts are going to be taken. Then he would care. He would moderate his tactics, but he will never moderate his strategic objective.
I read the transcript of transcript from an interview that he did where he was incoherent.
Well,
and his thoughts didn't flow from one another. It didn't, you couldn't make it. Was he on drugs?
Maybe he was drinking some of that vodka.
Too much vodka?
Yeah, maybe it was right after vodka.
It was bizarre.
I cannot imagine him doing or saying anything that does not have a reason behind it.
Well, let me juxtapose this against this back-to-school teacher that showed up for her first day of in-service training. We did the story earlier. She shows up wasted. She's drunk, and she's walking through the building, took her pants off.
Well,
you know, he's going to do something stupid like that.
Wasn't walking through the building. It was in her own classroom.
Well, whatever.
She felt pretty safe in there.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to look up this interview you were talking about.
I know. I need
about,
to check on that and see if it was an actual or if, you know, you can't believe everything you read on the internet.
Yeah.
So
but
you
like
have to
I
check
said,
these
can't.
Things out. No, believe it or not.
Oh, okay.
Putin is extremely calculated, extremely. And it'll be interesting to see what happens now in the Ukraine.
Yeah, now they're lining. I mean, he's got those troops lined up on the eastern border, and
yeah,
he's ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, now they're back, and he's going to. And he has many, many reasons he can use as an excuse. You know, if the Ukrainian troops start creating havoc in Donetsk, and if there's loss of life, and then he's going to rescue the Russian population, and There are a whole number of reasons that he could use to get in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's 7:51. Good morning.
Clark Howard, weeknights at 10, News Talk 790 KFYO.
Lubbock's First News, 7:55, Tom Laura, and you are listening to a conversation with Vice Provost of International Affairs, Texas Tech University, Ambassador T. Barnes Jr. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being
great
here.
Great to be here, guys.
All right. We've talked about several things, you know, Russia, the Ukraine, and, you know, Africa and Ebola. But there's still all kinds of stuff happening over in the Middle East.
Absolutely.
How do you see what's happening over there? Everybody's asking about the solution.
Yeah.
What is the solution?
You know, we Americans tend to be so goal-focused. We think that there's a solution to everything. I believe the right question to ask is there a solution?
And you say.
And I'm afraid the more I think about it, the more I think that maybe there is not. Especially maybe not in the short term, maybe not even in the medium term. Maybe this is what we're going to be seeing for the next 20, 40, 50 years, recurring cycles of these types of events, you know, with various endings. I think right now Israel has certainly achieved its objectives, I believe. I'm not sure Hamas has. I think they're going to try to nail that out at the Cairo meetings, you know, that the Egyptians are doing, but you know, we talk about two-state solution, one-state solution. Kerry spends time with her. I'm not sure there is one.
I want to ask you a question. Just recently, I mean, early this morning, yesterday, I saw this discourse that the president gave, saying that, you know, the world state of flux and disharmony and all the problems of the world are basically caused by religious intolerance. In other words, not respect, you know, people wanting their own way and not, you know, everybody not living together as one. You know what? There are some cultures that just ain't gonna do that.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking that, say if you reverse the religions in the Middle East, I think you would have just as much problems there. Look at some of the most horrendous, you know, strife that there has been, and sometimes people were the same religion.
Well, the reason why everything is so extreme and to the wall there, people strapping bombs on themselves and you know, being the martyr, is because it is religious and it is belief-based.
And also remember, some of the most peaceful empires recently, the Ottoman Empire, that was the last time you had real peace in the Middle East. You know, it was an Islamic empire, but they were very tolerant of everybody. Austro-Hungarian Empire, not because I'm Hungarian. It was a multi-ethnic empire. And now a lot of people said, wish we had that back.
Mm-hmm.
Because religions did coexist, you know, under that framework. Because when people have a tendency to share the wealth, they get along. I mean, look at the country that really should not work at all, Switzerland. You know, Italians, French, Germans living together in harmony. Imagine that. But when you're sharing wealth, you kind of make do. On the other hand, if there's just a little bit that everyone's fighting over, then you will find whatever differences in the other person and exploit those.
You know, Laura, I just kind of think that, you know, if you really get down to it, if East met West and you took all that distance out from between them, I think that'd be catastrophe. I just don't think it would happen. What do you say?
I agree.
Mm.
All right.
It's a mess.
It is, and it's getting messier, isn't it?
It is. Thank you for coming in, though, and giving us a perspective on what's going on.
Thank you, Ambassador. Clean up on aisle three, please.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great day.
Hey, appreciate you being here. T. Barnage, Ambassador T. Barnage Jr. from Texas Tech, Vice Provost of International Affairs. Hey, we've got Bombshell Designs coming in to talk about this fundraiser where you can win this beautiful classic car. It's nice. That's after 8:759 right now. Hope you're having a great day.